You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and yeah, today international. And we're going to cover down on all the issues like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. It's Monday all day long, but darn, it's a pretty Monday. But man, Boomer, the temperature went up.
Oh, man, it did go up. Hot. It is hot.
Apparently, it's Alabama summer again.
There we go. Just, you know, like you said, wait a couple minutes or a couple days, and it's going to change.
I'm saying. Well, how was your weekend?
It was good. Yours?
How's your back?
My back is working. It is working well.
You can bend over and pick things up now?
I can. Oh. It's doing good. Good. I'm happy, so thank you.
All right. Good. We're glad. All right. A happy boomer makes for a happy show. That's the way we like to say it around here.
No.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Monday. We got a great show laid on for you. So we're going to be talking a lot about this stuff going on in Russia right now, which I'll get into in more details in a minute. But at 3 o'clock today, somebody who's been on the show a couple of times has become a friend of Right Side Radio, Major General Joe Arbuckle, who spent the last half of his nearly 30-year career doing strategic-level planning. We're going to have him on to discuss some of his thoughts regarding what is happening with Russia, the Wagner Group, the war in Ukraine, all of it. So, yeah, there's that coming up at 3 p.m. Then at 3:30 p.m., Todd Stacey is the owner and chief editor at Alabama Daily News. Alabama Daily News got hold of the maps being proposed right now for the redistricting of Alabama's congressional lines. So I texted Todd Stacey yesterday and said, hey, man, you got time to come on and talk about this? Because, yeah, it's if they go with the lines that are being currently proposed by the plaintiffs in that case, it's going to be a complete redraw. I mean, like a complete redraw. So we'll see what Todd Stacey has to say. By the way, he used to work for Congresswoman Roby. And I suspect he's got some thoughts. And then there's a whole triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, Russian roulette. I don't know if y'all were tracking this past weekend, but one of the more bizarre scenes in world events in my lifetime happened this past weekend. And oh, by the way, it happened in a nuclear country, as a mercenary army of 25,000 or more with tanks, armored vehicles, and everything it takes to support them with log trains started rolling towards Moscow. It was a crazy situation, and I don't think we're done yet. There's more left to unfold. News is breaking right now that Putin is expected to give a statement to the press anytime now, and we'll keep you updated. But number one in the triple dipper, Russian roulette, that's what I'm calling it. So y'all stay tuned. We'll break that down and give you all the details. Number two, reading between the lines. All right, we're drawing new congressional lines. We're going to redraw them. That's a given. It's going to happen. What's going to happen to where you live? What's going to happen to the ability for Republicans to still maintain a majority in our congressional delegation? What does this do, by the way, to the overall picture in D.C. with such a slim majority in the House? It's an amazing thing to think that Alabama's district lines could be redrawn and suddenly affect the ability to maintain a majority. And then number three, I'm just calling it madness. Listen, y'all, every once in a while things happen, and they happen in a way that you look at it and go, that's just freaking madness. And that's where we are with some of what happened over the last few days. Decisions made by some government offices, and then the one that kicks it off, though, it's too big for woke world. It's not funny. It's a group of LGBTQ activists openly stating they want our kids. We're going to talk about it in number three of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it madness. All right. But in that vein, let me jump over to my comments for the day. So I got to be honest with you. I think more than anything right now, more than ever before, we need giant killers. Giant killers. We need people who can stand and make direct eye contact with giants. There's a rabid sense of desperation right now coming from the darkest places in our society. Just yesterday, in a report that I'm going to cover in more detail later in the show, marchers in a so-called pride parade in New York City marched while chanting, here's their chant, you ready? We're here, we're queer, and we want your kids. Y'all, that's just nothing but evil showing itself. Meanwhile, on our southern border, desperate ranchers and small towns are being crushed by an overwhelming tide of illegal immigrants. Major cities, especially in California, are facing an epidemic of drugs, crime, and homeless encampments that are literally squeezing the life out of once vibrant downtown areas. Now, I could go on, but you already know. There's a desperate wind blowing as if the enemies of the good are scratching and clawing to get more and more from us. Well, this great nation, to include the state of Alabama, is facing a series of challenges right now unlike any that we've had in contemporary memory. There will always be flares of social upheaval. The process of give and take and social norms are questions of fiscal discipline, wars and rumors of wars, but it is not often that we see and feel such tangible calls for societal evolution. This is a cause greater than all of us. But I want to point out something, though. This time that we're in, this craziness, this like seeming madness, this rabidness, it's really not unique in human history. We can get through this, but we will have to take out some giants first. I believe that America is poised to step into a moment right now that will set the standard for generations to come. Whether to accept or hopefully to refuse to accept a new normal, one in which civil liberties, assembly, speech, due process, a right to confront our accusers, the right to ensure our votes count, actual civil liberties, where all of it could go away unless we do something. The debate rages and there's ideas, opinions, and plans from all sides of the spectrum. In the middle of it all, you may be asking yourself, how can I possibly make a difference? Can one person really do anything meaningful? What can I, in my limited sphere of influence, ever hope to accomplish? What is happening right now is giant in its scope, so my question is, are you prepared to be a giant killer? Good people who speak up and decide to take action, even by themselves or in small numbers, have often turned the tide of great moments in societies throughout history. And I got to tell you, I feel like I have to, using that analogy, I have to lean back on two of my favorite stories from the Bible. Regardless of anyone else's personal views, I believe that the storyline originating in Numbers 13 has direct application to our current crisis. Here's the deal. Just for context, in that storyline, the Israelites had just come through all their years of slavery, the great exodus out of Egypt. They stood on the border of the Promised Land, and they sent 12 men over the border to check things out. And those 12 men, those spies, they got over there, and everything they had dreamed of in their quest for a new life was there. They called it the land flowing with milk and honey. A people that had been through so much were on the edge of a new life. But there was a problem. There were giants in the land, ready to oppose their progress. It was supposed to be easy, they thought. It was supposed to be a new day. No one said anything about having to overcome enemies like that. So Moses, he sent these 12 spies, and they returned with their report, of which 10 of those 12 said it was just not doable. Can't make it work. These are giants. They are insurmountable. But two men, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and they called on the people to stay the course. But fear took over. The easy route was chosen. And the people of Israel, as a result, wandered in the wilderness for the next 40 years. An entire generation passed away before the Israelites returned to cross the Jordan and enter the Promised Land. And here's the thing. When they did finally cross over, they still had to fight. It was not any easier because they had waited. They had simply delayed the inevitable fight, and they had deferred the hard work to their children and grandchildren. I hope you caught that part. Fear of the giants led to them wandering in the wilderness, and the next generation had to come back and fight the same giants anyway. But you've all heard the story about another fight just a few generations later. David, the least among his family of the least among the tribes, he took issue with the fear and the fecklessness of the Israelite army when they were being taunted by a giant warrior named Goliath. And you all know the story about David. He slew the giant, right? But there were a few aspects of that story that perhaps you've never noticed. We're told in 1 Samuel 17 that on the way down to the fight, David stopped by a dry creek bed. He picked up 5 smooth stones. He killed Goliath with one of them. But he was mentally prepared, apparently, to stay in the fight and sling all 5 stones if one was not enough. But there's another key point in that storyline that a lot of folks overlook. You see, David was actually being mocked and spurned by his own brother for daring to think that he could fight the giant. The king told him he was too small. naysayers who could not even imagine the idea of confronting a giant, David responded with this one phrase. He said, "Is there not a cause?" Meaning, isn't there something bigger here? So is there not a cause? What a great question. I mean, a history, a way of life worth fighting for, something bigger than ourselves. I don't care where you draw your inspiration from. It can be a famous movie or a personal story or an experience of others or of your own, or in this case, from a biblical narrative. But the fact remains that we must have the social and political will to stand, or we will surely fall. You can stand, and maybe you will not reach the heights you're attempting, but if you remain seated, you will definitely not reach them. I believe the state of Alabama is on the cutting edge of this fight. We are poised, as what is supposed to be one of the most conservative states in the nation, to be a catalyst for substantive change and to serve as a bulwark against the absolute attempts to wreck our nation by liberals. Make no mistake, there are giants in our land. But I was not selected to find the easy way out, and in my opinion, sitting idle is the option of fools and cowards. It is possible to find simple solutions to hard problems. And I know who I'm talking to. This is an audience full of giant killers. Having come this far, we have to continue and cross over, or it will all been for naught. There was a scene in the Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot. Good movie. A movie loosely based on the real-life character of Francis Marion, who they call the Swamp Fox during the American Revolution. He had initially been opposed to fighting the British. But later in the movie, he was lamenting the fact that he had delayed to take action. And he was told by the female lead character, "You have done nothing for which you should be ashamed." To which Gibson's character responded, "I have done nothing, and for that I am ashamed." So here's the deal, something I say often in this show. I say it all the time. Find your place. Find your voice. Find one or two others. Go speak at a public hearing. Organize a social media campaign. Start your own podcast. Support a strong candidate for office. Run for office yourself. Write a letter to the editor. Any one of those things is good. This is our country. We are called to be good stewards of it. And by the way, it's a broad-based strategy of stewardship, and it's not easy by any means, but it is certainly doable. Because these giants we're facing right now, these social and cultural giants, they are not insurmountable. We are not the kind to turn back, and the world needs us to be giant killers. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. I'm telling you, man, there are giants. It feels too big sometimes. You look at it and think, what can I possibly do? What can I possibly do? You may be surprised. Tell you what, when we get back, I'm going to tell you another story. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a number of text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Several texts are already in. John from Huntsville says, Phil the Giant Killer, I loved your monologue. Also, one time I heard a story on TV about a man who picked up one of thousands of starfish and put it back in the ocean. And a man came up to him and said, "Do you really think that made a difference?" He responded, "For that one, it did." That's a good story. Missy from Falkville, great monologue. While waiting tables during the Obama years, I would discuss with a veteran things the administration was doing. His response was always the same. "There's too many Patriot veterans out here. He won't get away with it." But he always did. At what point are Americans going to get fed up and take a stand? We are no different from wandering for 40 years. A 40-year Israeli, what he's trying to say is we're wandering Israelis. I got to make sure we're clear, Missy. I mean, I'm not talking about armed insurrection here, but the reality is we have got to start taking a more adequate stand against the pushes by the ardent progressive left that are determined to take away everything that we know, understand, and believe in, and just institute an entire new cultural norm. And it's going to take people just being fed up, running for office, filing lawsuits, doing what it takes, going to school board meetings, and I mean like getting busy. And there's some great examples right now. Just the other day, we had a representative from Moms for Liberty on. That started off with two moms in Florida. They now have chapters in almost every state, and they're like rocking people's world. So it can happen. It can happen. Allie from Athens says, giant killers. She said, and I've always enjoyed the fact that it's traditionally believed that David was not a very big person. That warms my heart, seeing as how I don't even hit 5'2" anymore. Anyway, all right. And then Jeremy from Huntsville says, David got 5 stones. He knew Goliath had 4 brothers. We have no proof of this. All right. Hey, and listen, I gotta. So talk about one man making a difference. So I had a unique opportunity a few years ago, was at a small conference for Club for Growth. I was a Club for Growth Foundation Fellow is what they call them. I was in the inaugural class of fellows. And so we had a gathering in D.C., and it was very cool. Got to meet some great people. They brought in big name speakers, and it was certainly enjoyable. One of those that was most interesting to me was when Mark Meadows came and spoke to us. And I'm talking about, we're just in a room with about, you know, there's about 35 of us, and there's the former chief of staff, you know, to the president. Mark Meadows, before that, if you recall, before he worked for Trump, he had been in the House as a member of the Freedom Caucus. Meadows told this story, and his point was, yes, one person can make a difference. In this case, what happened was he heard that Trump was interested in tax cuts, and the Freedom Caucus was all for it. He said, I started writing out what we thought we could see and achieve. I thought we had the votes for this, this, and this. He said, then I sent it to Jim Jordan. He said, I'm told that Jim Jordan was like revising it on the hood of his truck in a Walmart parking lot while he was back at home. And he got his, you know, input back to me. I had it typed up, and I sent it over to Trump's office. He said, the next thing I know, I get a call from what had formerly been the chief of staff for President Trump. Said, the president would like to see you. When? Right now. Oh. And so he did what he could to get over there. And he got to the White House, and he was sitting outside and of the Oval Office. And the chief came out and said, come on in. Right now? Yeah, right now. He walked in. He said the entire cabinet was in there. He says, I'm looking, there's the vice president, there's the treasury secretary, he's got half the cabinet with him. And Trump's going through this thing, and he's got the memo from Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. Now keep in mind, two guys elected to Congress out of hundreds that serve in Congress. Are they making a difference? Apparently, because Trump's now reading their memo. And Trump's looking at his Treasury Secretary and goes, Meadows says we can do this and this. What do you think? Well, sir, I think we shouldn't cut it quite that far. Nah, what do you think, Meadows? I'd do it if I were you. Do it. Let's go ahead and put it down. The bottom line is that memo that they did, which Jim Jordan added his input into on the hood of his truck, it became the Trump tax cuts. And afterwards, Trump signed the memo and handed it back to him with the words, you know, good job written on it. And he's got it framed in his office to this day. Proof positive, he said, that you can provide input and actually make a difference. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.